Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as the requests continue to come in on Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath songs as the family of Ozzy Osbourne passed along the sad news that the rock icon died earlier today at the age of 76. So if you'd like a song or hear one from Ozzy's discography or Black Sabbath, let us know, 1-877-332-8255 on the fan line. Locker, as you said, you were able to interview Ozzy before the 13 album came out and had an interesting look to the relationship between Ozzy and Sharon.
Well, again, like I was saying earlier, it felt like I was in an episode of the Osbournes, and everything that you have imagined or pictured about him and their relationship and their dynamic, it was behind closed doors. They were exactly the same. So very authentic. I was just sort of thinking about that day because I got flown in and I was waiting in like in the hotel. And that we had like this section, like rented, like the record company had us, and they went back to the room, and then I went and sat there and set up, and then sort of hung out with them for a bit before we got recording. But I was waiting to go, and they weren't there yet. And just the difference between Ozzy and Geezer was also very striking to me, because Ozzy showed up and there was an entourage. He had four people. They piled out of Escalades and they had drivers, and it was a big sort of to do. And literally Geezer drove into the parking lot, parked his own truck, walked in and walked back completely by himself. Like just two totally very different personalities and stars in their own right. Right. But just, yeah. And their dynamic was interesting too. They'd been together forever. They were high school
teenagers, right?
Right. And so that,
let's start a band.
That interaction was very interesting as well. Cause they kind of bickered with each other as well. Right. Like, anyways, it was a wild day, wild day.
If you have any Ozzy Black Sabbath requests, you can send those in now. As we continue here on the Green Zone, well, the show kind of got away from us yesterday, and we wanted to debate this, but we're going to bring it to you today. And it has to do with one of the big CFL stories over the weekend, and it was this play.
Flacco have almost doubled them so far in that offense.
Blitz coming! Off comes the helmet, too! That looked dangerous on Drew Brown, who was still down.
Yes, Deshaun Amos comes in, spears Drew Brown, and Bob Dice says this at the halftime interview.
We say we're going to protect quarterbacks, but I don't know how that's not an ejection.
He wanted an ejection. Truth or trash?
I'm here to reveal the nasty truth.
I would roast you, but my mom said I'm not allowed to burn trash.
Lie detector test determined you are telling the truth.
Yeah, I'm the trash man.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
Truth or Trash Tuesday.
1-877-332-8255. Is Bob Dice right? Should that have been a suspension? Truth. Yes, it should have been a suspension and an ejection for Deshaun Amos. Or trash. No. There's a rule already in place, and it's a grade 2 spearing, and if he got another one in that game, then he gets ejected.
But unless it's egregious and an attempt to injure, right? Is the saying?
Well, this is where it gets really fun when it comes to the CFL rule book on what the rule is and what it isn't, because if you look at the rule in its place in the Canadian Football League, there's one rule that says grade 2 spearing is, you know, a 25-yard penalty, and that's that. But then there's another rule that also says an ejection can occur if it is found that it is an egregious foul for unnecessary roughness, to which I go, well, isn't that an egregious foul?
Example of roughing the pass. So is it also quarterback related? Like
this one is a clear, you know, hit to the head. So you know, actions that arise to the level of ejection is contact on the passer that is deemed a non-football action or an egregious example of a roughing the passer foul. Well, isn't that an egregious example of roughing the passer? When a guy comes in and spears the quarterback and his helmet hits him in the chin? It hit him in the chin.
I was looking at it, Jamie, and I trying to figure out why he wasn't ejected. It was a penalty on the play. And I, and again, you and I disagreed on this, but it almost looked like one of the defenders who got caught flat-footed turned around, was it 25? I'm trying to remember the number. And swiped his feet out from underneath of him. So someone from the O-line, and it looked like that kind of threw him a little bit towards Drew Brown, where I watched
that play 85 times, and I didn't see what you were seeing. I didn't see it.
You didn't see that?
No. Nope.
You didn't see him get his feet kicked out from underneath of him by a hand.
He had already ducked his head by that time and went, I'm... Now, Deshaun Amos has posted on social media, poor form. Like, he's like, I'll take it. Fundamentally, technically, I'll take that one. That is not how you tackle a football player. But cheap shot, dirty player, you got the wrong guy. And Drew Brown responded saying, hey, you know, kind of bleep happens.
Yeah.
I know who you are as a guy. No issues from Drew Brown on that one. Those are just two football players
playing hard,
each other.
Playing hard,
however,
and trying to finish a play.
That's all great. Yeah. However, you spear a quarterback into the head, you should be kicked out of a game. Automatically, no second chances. Here's the locker room. There's your shower.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. But also, I'm wondering why it didn't happen, right? Because it does look pretty bad. But then again, there's also, on top of him being... having his feet kicked out from underneath of him, which might have thrown his trajectory off just a bit. There was also an attempt from Drew Brown to cover the ball, and when he did, he kind of went like this. He kind of he sucked his gut in a little bit, right, to pull the ball in and pulled his head down, which is exactly where the helmet hit him. It, like, clear in the chin. So I wonder if the refs, again, looked at that and went, oh, he wasn't going for the head. He hit the head. That's where they need to clear up the rule a bit and clean it up and make it more definitive.
And people are already texting. A couple of people have already texted about Willie Jefferson in Calgary on Tevin Jones. That was a spear. I agree. That was a spear. And it. Does that deserve an automatic targeting the head? In the NCAA, there is a rule. Targeting is an automatic ejection. One time. If you target the head, that is a no questions asked. Go to the room. You're done here. And it is for just this, to try to teach the player to get your head out of the way and don't hit another guy's head. Now, did Drew Brown move slightly? Well, he saw
Amos coming,
and he made sure he didn't fumble the ball. And a lot of people are like, oh, he didn't have a chin strap done up. Great. Look where that helmet hits him. Right on the chin. Yes, the helmet pops off. I don't care that his helmet popped off. The helmet to the chin is the penalty. That's it. Don't blame the victim because he had three or four straps done out that his helmet popped off. He'll learn that lesson. However, like Bob Dice says,
we say we're going to protect quarterbacks, but I don't know how that's not an ejection.
They say it all the time. We need to protect quarterbacks. We need to protect quarterbacks. We need to protect quarterbacks. Let's hold maybe a second one. Let's give him a second chance to knock a guy out before we kick him out of a game. 1-877-332-8255. Do you agree with Bob Dice? That should have been an ejection.
It almost looks like the rule, Jamie, like that secondary level of it is in there for cases like this. This is why I'm thinking there's something to what it is that you're saying, that they added this. If it's egregious, it's on the side of the refs to determine whether or not they're ejected. So in that situation, I think this could have been viewed as you know, he doesn't need to do it twice. We're going to get him out of the game now, regardless of his reputation.
Well, a ref never wants to kick anybody out of a game.
No, but I think you do have to have that conversation, especially considering every year, what are we doing around this time? We're talking about how few quarterbacks there are and how deep into the quarterback room we're going.
Trevor Harris, you know, concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. Drew Brown, concussion protocol. Zach Collaros, left the game, concussion protocol. These things are happening over and over and over with the quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League. We should do a little bit more.
Do they do a better job in the NFL with the rules around spearing and hitting the quarterback?
No. NCAA is the league that does it. They have the automatic ejection for targeting. So, and they'll review it, and they'll look, and if they deem it, yep, you targeted the head, you are to the room.
How often are fines assessed for spearing after the fact?
Well, there will be a fine. All the fines come after the fact. So,
but I mean, how
Tuesday today?
No,
Wednesday?
How often?
Well, it depends how many illegal hits there are that determine a fine.
But
so,
is it happening a lot in the league?
Oh yeah, there's fine almost every week in the Canadian Football League for a not spearing, but a hit legal hit to the head.
Illegal hit to the head. Okay,
it's like once a week, twice a week, sometimes three or four legal hit to the head. It is. So, is the message getting through? 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Do you think Deshaun Amos should have got an early shower for that game between the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Ottawa Red Blacks with his hit on Ottawa quarterback Drew Brown? Adam says Brown does have to protect himself too. Buckle up your helmet. The ruling was correct, not an ejection, says Adam.
The helmet thing that keeps coming in every time we talk about this, but I don't think Drew Brown did anything wrong there, right? I didn't see that. He's just trying to hang on to the ball. I don't think you can, like, Brown didn't play that poorly. It wasn't his fault that he got hit in the head.
As we go to Taylor in Saskatoon, Taylor, what do you think of that play? Should that have been an ejection?
I mean, I don't think it would hurt. I'm a big fan of that player, just like I am a lot of defensive players that are on the field, because that's the position I played. But, you know, let's just look back to the Winnipeg game for a second here. I think the league needs to take it more seriously as a whole. I mean, I have never been a Winnipeg fan. You guys know that. But let's be honest, like, what gets some of these young kids into the game? It's these quarterbacks. It's Collaros. It's Trevor Harris. They don't know a lot of the other players, but they know these big names. And I understand it's hypocritical of what I'm saying here, but at the same time, you know, they're going to let Zach play again next game. You know, there's no safety protocol at all for Zach Collaros' head that happened on the last previous game. And you don't think the coach cares. I don't like that guy. I don't think he cares about anybody's safety on any football team. That's just my opinion of him. But to your point, the league doesn't care about the safety. They just care what's bringing dollar bills into the field.
I'll be interested in how that goes with Zach Collaros and the concussion protocol. He clearly cleared it pretty quick. And as Zach goes, so do the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So if he says he's good to go, they're playing him. But I get what you're saying, Taylor, with his concussion history. Like, really? 3 days and you're back out there? All right. 1-877-332-8255. More time for your calls on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Let's get right to the fan line here on the Green Zone. Lauren in Saskatoon. Should that have been an ejection with Deshaun Amos' hit on Drew Brown?
The way the rule reads, I'm thinking maybe not. But that's not the point that I see. Until the league starts handing out suspensions for egregious hits like that, the players aren't going to pay any attention, and the coaches aren't going to change their teaching. The bottom line is players have to be taught that they can't lead with the helmet, and I don't think that's coming through. They're not learning. It's still happening, and we're losing elite players, including elite quarterbacks.
Lauren, thanks for the call at 1-877-332-8255. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Blue Jays baseball back at it against the Yankees, trying to win a 12th straight home game and 5th straight since the All-Star break, as the Yankees have been struggling along now, 4 back of the Jays. At Rider practice today, they say Jameer Thurman was limited, though he didn't do much at all. Aubrey Miller Jr. was in his spot at middle linebacker. Kadeem Carey, as Corey Mace, the head coach, said, more than likely done for this season. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, he's back talking ball. Maybe we'll ask him about that Drew Brown hit. Does Milt Stegall think that should be an ejection? Yes, Milt Stegall on the Green Zone next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as the texts continue to come in on requests for Black Sabbath. Ozzy Osbourne, a request today, as the family of Ozzy Osbourne let it be known, as he died today at the age of 76, an absolute legend of rock and music, and many Black Sabbath and Ozzy fans remembering him by playing the tunes today. If you have a song you'd like to hear, 1-877-332-8255 as we continue here on the Green Zone. We'll continue talking CFL football with one of our favorites to talk to about it. And it is great to welcome Milt Stegall back to the Green Zone. It was great to see Milt Stegall welcome back to the CFL and his CFL family that embraced him and his family over the last few months. Milt, great to have you back. Thanks for doing this today.
It's great to be back. Great to be talking to you guys. So I'm excited that I'm back, and it's going to be a great time. I'm enjoying every moment of it.
So let's get right into a story we were just talking about on the Green Zone. Bob Dice thought it should have been an ejection for Deshaun Amos on the hit on Drew Brown. What did Milt Stegall think of that? Should that be an automatic ejection now in the Canadian Football League?
I don't know, and I couldn't answer. We talked about it because I don't know exactly what should be an automatic ejection. I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know if they've clarified that in the rule book. I know it was a 25-yard penalty, and I'll start off by saying this: Deshaun Amos, he's not that guy. Anybody who's been around him, you know he's not that guy. Now, was it a legal hit? Without a doubt. Should it have been objected? I don't know what the rule book says. So they need to clarify that so players know and coaches know and everyone knows that if you make a hit like that, these are going to be the consequences. So I don't know, because I don't know exactly what an illegal hit that's going to force a player to get objected. I just don't know what that looks like.
You actually bring up a really good point, because when we started to look at the rule, it is a little bit convoluted.
Well, there's a spearing rule that's 25 yards and no ejection, but then there's the roughing the passer that if they find it an egregious action, then it can be an ejection. So where does that one fall?
They need to clean it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good news, though, for Winnipeg with Zach practicing today, Milt. So that's good news for them.
Good news, but he has to play better than what he's played. Yeah, it's good news because, like I said, I love Strebler. I think he's a great changeup, but he's not going to take them to where they need to be. It has to be Zach, but Zach, it has to be a better Zach than what we've seen in the last two outings. I mean, what is it, 6 interceptions, 3 of them returned to the house? That's not going to – you're better off having Strebler if that's what he's going to do on a consistent basis. So it's good to have him back. We know what he's capable of when he's on his game, but he has to get back on his game, because what we've seen lately, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I promise you, they're not going to win many games if they're star quarterback is playing the way he's played the last couple of weeks.
Milt Stegall joining us with the CFL on TSN. Of course, he and Davis Sanchez are back with the newly named Paper Plates show. We'll get into that and the appearance of Luke Wilson a little bit later on. But with the Bombers play against the Stamps, Milt, who saw the Stamps coming? Like, is there anybody at TSN who's jumping up and down and saying, I told you, because I can't find anybody that predicted a Calgary Stampeder team would be 5-1 with all the changes that happened this offseason?
I wasn't able to get on the preview show for obvious reasons, but if I could show everyone my notes, I said Vernon Adams alone will win them an extra 4 or 5 games. So I won't say I thought they would be this good, but I knew they would be a lot better than what they've been last year and the year before that. I thought they would get to 9 or 10 victories just because Vernon Adams alone. The way they're playing, they may get to 13, 14 easy. No one saw this, but Dave Dickinson knew he needed to overhaul that team, especially that defense. You look at that defense there, there's really no one left from last year because those guys, they just weren't that good, evident by the fact that majority of them aren't even in the league anymore. So I don't think anyone saw this coming. I knew they would be better just because they added Vernon Adams. I can honestly say that, but I can honestly also say I didn't think they would be this good. The way they're beating teams where it's not even close is a crazy. And I know Ottawa beat them, and people are going to say it was because in the rain, but that just lets you know anyone is capable of beating anyone on any given day, because Ottawa right now, I mean, shucks, they're a bad team. But the fact that they beat what most folks are saying is the best team in the CFL lets you know that you have to show up for each and every game and play. But the way these Stampeders are playing, it's going to be hard for anyone to beat them if they're not on their A-plus game.
So that kind of leads us nicely into a conversation about the Riders and Elks on Friday. You got a very desperate Elks team. Should the Riders be, I don't know, how do you put this? Should they make sure that they don't take this team lightly leading into Friday?
The thing you have to do at this level is you approach every single game like you're playing the best team in the world. And mentally, that's hard to do, especially when you're the Riders, you're 5-1, you're playing against the Elks, their quarterback situation is horrible. Not only their offense, but their defense is bad. They have so many things going in their favor as far as the Rough Riders are concerned. They think they can just walk on the field. And I know Corey Mace is not going to let that set in, but when you're playing as well as they are and playing against a team like that, it's hard for it not to set in. The thing you can't do, you can't allow the Elks to come out and think they have any hope. If you go out there early and you crush them, they'll settle in and say, hey, this is what everyone's expecting of us. Hey, this is no big deal. But you can't allow them to come out there and get some momentum, because then they think they can play with them. You look at these two teams on paper, there's no way the Elks should be close in this game. But you allow this team to come out there and have a glimmer of hope, and anything can happen. So the Rough Riders are definitely favored. I think they're probably about 6 or 7 points favored, but they better go out there and play, because they're playing against a team that's really desperate right now.
Well, the Elks bit them last year at Mosaic Stadium. I remember that one. Fans weren't too impressed with that effort by the Riders. Can't have a repeat of that. But this week, it has been completely 50-50 split reps. Cody Fajardo, Trey Ford is the starting quarterback of the Edmonton Elks. Milt, is it too early to bail on Trey, or is it prudent now to go to Cody to get some wins?
You got to go to Cody. You're not bailing on Trey. You're just saying you're not getting it done right now. You may still be our future, but you're not getting it done. And I think the one thing where they messed up with the Elks, they didn't make it a competition. And I know you wanted to let everyone know that this is our guy, because that's what everyone's been screaming for. Give this guy an opportunity to be the man, and he'll show you. But I think that's the worst thing you can do for somebody who hasn't won much in this league, telling them that they're the guy, especially when you got a guy coming in who has been the guy, who has won a Grey Cup, who was a Grey Cup MVP. You're not allowing them to compete. Well, I think that was a problem. Now they want to compete. So we'll see what happens. But if I was a betting man, if I had to liquidate everything I had and put it on who was going to start, I would say Cody Fajardo was going to start this game.
Milt, you renamed the podcast Paper Plates. You had your first show last week under the new name, and Luke Wilson was the guest. And love Luke or hate Luke, we had him on last week. He's an interesting duck, and he's doing a fantastic job of creating a conversation around the CFL. And not that you and Davis haven't been critical of the CFL, but what's your take on what Luke is doing, especially on the social media side of things?
I mean, I love it. As you mentioned, it has people talking. Some people don't like it, some people do, but people are talking. He's rattling some cages. Some of the gatekeepers, as they call them, as the old heads, as I would call them, because they're a lot older than me, they don't like what he's talking about. But we're talking about it. And regardless if you think he's wrong or right, there are some changes that need to be made in this league, one way or another. Some things need to be changed, because you look at some of what's going on in some of these stadiums. You look at some of the crowd in some of these stadiums. There are changes that need to be made. You look at some of these games, and people will say all the time, whether they're boring games or bad games in the NFL don't have the problems we have. We only have 9 games, and if you have 4 or 5 bad games, that's a problem. And every single game is on national TV, so you have to try to make each and every game as exciting as possible. So, like I say, regardless if you like him or not, people are talking, and he's letting people know that changes need to be made. I think changes are going to eventually be made, but changes need to be made to make sure that this league will live on for 100 or more years to come. So I like that folks are talking about it, and even if it took for him to talk about it, it's being talked about, I think, which is a good thing.
Milt Stegall, 2002, 23 touchdown receptions, most touchdowns not only receiving, but most touchdowns in a single season all time. Kenny Lawler is on pace today for 24. How hard will it be for Kenny, like from your experience in 2002, is you're probably starting to get triple teamed going down. I tried to look back. I think you probably only scored about 21 of those against the Rough Riders that season, it felt like. But what's Kenny Lawler about to experience trying to chase a Milt Stegall record?
Well, and there was a play, and Davis and I, we talk about it on our pod that'll come out tomorrow. What's going to happen is he's going to start getting so much attention that other guys are going to get open. And then when those guys start making plays, he'll get an opportunity to make his plays. And that's what happened with me. I was fortunate enough where I had a Hall of Fame running back in Charles Roberts, and also another guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, but he won't because of political reasons, Arlen Bruce. So those guys were keying on me, and then those guys started getting loose, and that's when I had more opportunities. But for him to break it, it's going to take a couple of games where he gets 3 and maybe 4 touchdowns, because I had those. You think you're going to just nickel and dime it? It's too difficult. The CFL, the game, there's too many things going on. So if he can stay healthy and he has 2 or 3 games where he knocks out 2 or 3 touchdowns, maybe 4 touchdowns, he'll get close, and you never know what can happen. It's not an easy task because, as you mentioned, you're going to start getting some double team and triple team, and hopefully those other guys come through, Tim White and Smith, and the running game kicks in, which has been horrible. But if those things happen, it'll open back up for him, and he'll have an opportunity to break it.
Milts, you're on the road this week. Where are you? What's your schedule like?
No. It's easy this week compared to what I did this past week. If you got a quick second, I just want to tell you what I did last week. Wednesday night, I flew up to Toronto. Thursday night, we did a game in Toronto. Friday morning, I flew to Winnipeg. We did a game Friday night in Winnipeg. Saturday morning, I flew back to Toronto. We did a game in Toronto Saturday and Sunday. I flew back home yesterday, Monday. I fly back up to Toronto Wednesday night. We do all the games in Toronto Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I fly back home Monday. So this week is easy. All I'll do is go to Toronto. Tomorrow, we do all the games there. So it's easy this week.
Air miles.
Air miles, hotel, rent a car, all that stuff.
Will you have a trip to Saskatchewan this year?
No, they already did it. They already did it. We were hoping. We're still trying to figure out if we can come there Labor Day, because I tell people all the time, I don't miss playing football, but I miss that atmosphere, the Labor Day Classic. I experienced the Banjo Bowl, but it's not like it is now when I was there. It was almost like a regular game. But that Labor Day Classic, There's nothing else in sports, in my opinion, like that Labor Day Classic. So I would love if we can get there for that.
And I know you felt the love from Saskatchewan over the last few months, Milty. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk again soon down the road.
All right, sounds great. You guys take care, and we'll talk soon.
Great to have you back, Milt.
Milt Stegall, touchdown regal, as Chris Cuthbert, when he broke that George Reed record. And 23, we'll see. We'll be following if Kenny Lawler can chase down Milt Stegall for the most touchdowns in a single season. He's on pace for 24 right now with 8 through 6 games.
Bo likes him as a target.
Oh, well, look what he does. Just throw it in the air. Just throw it up there. Three guys around him. Kenny Lawler's bringing it down. I don't know how he's doing it, but it is insane to watch what Kenny and the Tiger Cats are up to. They're in BC this week, and after Trevor Harris just almost put up a 400 spot on the Lions secondary, I think there might be another touchdown or two in the bag for Kenny Lawler.
Tiger Cats are getting lots of Sunday games.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone, our game of the night on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We're taking your requests on Ozzy Osbourne / Black Sabbath tunes today, as the family of Ozzy Osbourne announced that he has died at the age of 76, surrounded by his wife and children, as Ozzy Osbourne has died. One of the iconic rock musicians ever.
Here's the way of putting it. If you are of a certain age, I'd say around, you know, 60 and less, and you are a rock and roll fan, there is no way that you can't make a connection between the bands you love and listen to, probably now and as a kid, that were not influenced by Black Sabbath.
1-877-332-8255 if you have a tune you'd like to hear. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, our game of the night. Well, it's about to begin. The Toronto Blue Jays against the New York Yankees. Yankees trying to end this slide against the Jays. They can't beat them. The Jays have won 5 straight against the Bronx Bombers and have a 4-game lead on New York atop the AL East. Meanwhile, Cody Fajardo, Trey Ford still splitting reps 50-50 at Elks practice, so no word on who's going to start against the Riders.
Who do you think it is? I go back and forth.
I still think they're going to have a very, very short leash on Trey Ford on Friday. Like, I think we see both quarterbacks, but I think Trey might get, hey, you get a quarter, you better be good, or Cody's coming in. But we'll see what that depth chart looks like on Thursday.
I think they'll stick with Trey.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone, Britton Gray brings you all the rider news right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.